I know certain of the elder statesmen of the music world will be looking forward to a dose of nostalgia with Oasis and Croke Park, but believe you me, it's all about female acts. They are dominating the festival circuit. Louise Bruton is an arts journalist and DJ and joins us now. Louise, how are you today?
Hello, I'm so Pop Girl Summer, it's my time to shine, so I'm delighted.
Yes, does this mean my bucket hat and my can of warm beer is not going to be brought into action as I expected?
Well, they're currently in fashion, so, you know, you can still wear them, but you really have to get down on what the girls are putting out, because it's such a fun time, and we're just at the thick of it now at festivals. Primavera is happening in Barcelona now at the moment, and my social media feed has been clogged with videos from CMAT, the Irish pop, Euro pop country sensation, who performed to a huge audience, all doing the Dunboyne shuffle to I Want to Be a Cowboy Baby. And then we had Charlie XCX, who was headlining one of the later on in the night, a more of an AM slot. And everything just looks so fun. And that, I think, is the big difference between, say, going to a Charlie XCX gigs versus going to, no offence to anybody attending, I mean no harm, but versus an Oasis gig. There is joy, there is fun, there is a real kind of sensation of living in the moment and for the now. Whereas with Oasis, I'm not sure if we're going to be getting that much joy on stage. Joy will be felt in the stadium, absolutely, but not necessarily from the Gallagher brothers.
All right. God, they've been just kind of negotiate or moves off stage without ever really realising it. It's hard to believe. But when you look down the list of female talent, particularly in the UK playing dates, it is fairly jaw-dropping, isn't it?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of the same acts performing in Ireland as we do in the UK, as they do in the UK. So we won't see the likes of Olivia Rodrigo or Sabrina Carpenter or Beyoncé, who are all doing big, big shows in the UK. Beyoncé is doing about maybe five nights, I think, in Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. But this June alone, we have Charlie XCX, who's playing Malahide Castle. We have Billie Eilish, who's playing in the Three Arena. We have Dua Lipa and Lana Del Rey playing separate nights in the Aviva. Like, it's huge pop gigs by women who have really dominated the charts and have seemed to have dominated the culture as well. And most of them, apart from Lana, are under the age of 30. So it's this really powerful moment in pop music where women are singing about being young women, like you just heard there in the Charlie XCX song, It's So Confusing to Be a Girl, and it is. But it's just very exciting and it's very refreshing because, I don't know, it's great to see people who are really enjoying this point in their career, which they all are. They aren't just like shilling out the albums. They are giving big, big performances, huge productions. And they're so supportive of each other as well, which mightn't have always been the case in the pop landscape. Things might have been very competitive. Think of, say, like Kanye West versus 50 Cent, Britney versus Christina, whereas they all seem to be collaborating with each other, going to each other's shows, learning each other's choreography, and of course, posting TikTok videos of them doing it.
Is TikTok part of what's caused this kind of, it looks like a huge sea change towards female talent. It really does. Is it that, or is there something more at play?
It's probably the fact that a lot of young girls have greater access to music now. And I keep saying young girls, but it's people of all ages. It's people of all genders, of all kind of gender orientation or sexual orientation that really just, they love these performers. But TikTok is kind of a huge thing because it's connecting directly to the fans. And it's not necessarily in the case of like waiting for specialist alternative music to be waiting to hear what it is that you should be listening to. These performers are kind of reaching directly to their fans, and it feels far more connective than it maybe ever has been before, which is probably it's a great thing for fans and it's a great thing for these artists to become established. But I'm sure the sustainability of maintaining this kind of direct connection might wear a little tired for the performers in the end.
Yeah, it is very different, isn't it, than it was before? Because before, when Madonna came through, that was fantastic, writing, producing, everything. But a lot of what came afterwards, Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and stuff, there was very often a big producer behind that. This is writing songs, performing songs, touring. It's really, they're all kind of master of their own domain, really, aren't they?
Yeah, and I think probably a big part of that as well is they've been able to say the ways that they have been maybe misaligned or mistreated by the industry, because Charlie XCX has been on the go for a very long time. She used to perform at raves when she was 14 years old in London. Wow. And she has been kind of signed to with various record labels since she was a teenager. And she has been a huge songwriter for other pop acts. And she has said in interviews over the years, when's her moment, when's she going to be the big pop girl? And she was able to say that over social media, which kind of got people thinking, is like, why aren't the acts that we want to listen to getting the spotlight that they deserve? So there seems to be more of an openness where they can actually say what it is that they want to achieve with their careers. Whereas with, say, the likes of Britney Spears in the 2000s, you know, they had so many contracts and they had so many people involved earning money from them that there wasn't necessarily this personal freedom for them as artists, which is, it's a very, like, in hindsight, we look back and we're like, God, these people weren't treated very well. And there just seems to be more of an awareness of the people behind the pop stars now. And they can speak out when things aren't good. Like Chapel Roan has called out the industry a lot for record labels maybe not looking after the mental health of their huge breakthrough acts. And she's been a big advocate. She's kind of taking her time with releasing newer material because it can be a very go sort of world, especially with social media. And for someone as popular and as unique as Chapel Roan to be like, no, I'm doing it my way, that's a very encouraging thing for more younger artists to kind of come in and enter the industry with this idea that they need to look after themselves as well as, you know, selling the product.
Yeah, that is a long way to, I hate to bring us back to Oasis again, but that is a long way away from the kind of world they often espoused, which was, you know, more to do with fights at airports and, you know, not getting on, saying horrible things about each other. There's much more positivity in this world, isn't there?
There definitely is. And I think if you read kind of any kind of throwback pieces about what it was like to be in any kind of band in the 90s, it just seemed exhausting. Like, say, the Gallagher brothers didn't speak for years. And I know Five, the boy band, are on a big reunion thing at the moment as well. And they had punch ups as well, because the as you might know as well, Tom, the touring schedule in the 90s was just go, don't sleep, go from one country to the next. And there was no time to kind of sit back and understand what fame you've achieved. And of course, drinking and drugs were such a big part of the image in the 90s as well. I know it's a little bit part of Charlie's image with some songs, but, you know, it was a far more kind of burn fast and burn bright kind of sentiment back then, which didn't work out for everybody.
No room for mental health there. I have to say, you have to look at these names and go, there's some serious talent, isn't there? I mean, you'd have to say Billie Eilish, maybe the voice of her generation. Lana Del Rey, you could maybe say the writer of her generation. She's like an amazing writer. They're all fantastically talented, aren't they?
Yeah, like Taylor Swift shouted out Lana Del Rey when she won the Grammy for the Album of the Year for the Tortured Poets Department, saying if there was no Lana, there probably wouldn't be a whole generation of female songwriters. Because Lana really did kind of pave the way of singing about her experiences as a woman within a world that doesn't really welcome women that favorably. And she was speaking for like a huge percentage of the global population. And it's just so funny that that's a breathtaking thing to Isn't take it? Under, that women have the same chances, well, so almost the same chances as their male peers to get their opinions across. And with Primavera that's happening in Barcelona now this weekend, they were one of the first few festivals that promised to make sure that there was a 50-50 gender equality on their lineup. And this weekend alone, they have Charlie headlining, they have Sabrina Carpenter, and they've Chapel Roan. And it's one of the biggest, like, I'm so envious that I'm not there right now. And they, for the last few years, which is how long they've been promising to have this gender equality on the lineup, they've had the best lineups. Yeah. Of any festival going. And it's a great example. And I really, when you look at, say, the likes of Electro Picnic that's happening in September, it's all men headlining. And we have Chapel Roan on the second line of the, it's Hozier, and it's Kings of Leon and Sam Fender. They're the three big acts for Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It looks odd. It looks slightly out of place.
It's a bit wobbly.
Blokey. Yep. Right. And 50-50 gender bias brings the fun. It has to be said. Louise, listen, I could talk to you all day about this, but sadly we're not allowed to. But thanks very much for joining us, Louise Bruton, their arts journalist and DJ. It is the summer of pop. The gigs are on offer, absolutely off the clock.